Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle has won.
Panthers to beat the Rabbitohs 42-12. This is a really weird game because even though they lost 42-12, it was actually one of South's better performances. It was just these big moments where they just completely switched off that cost them royally. You know, with 20 minutes to go, it's 18-12. Granted, Panthers were playing not good, not that great. You know, I'd make the argument that the game would have been extremely close if Edwards and Yeo didn't play as well as they did. Panthers at the moment looking a little bit flat. Understandable. They're obviously without Cleary. Without Cleary. You know, even last week with Cleary, they looked a little bit flat. But then the Rabbitohs just had these really key moments where you're just going, look, the thing. Okay, so let's talk about the two big moments in the game, because I think that like everyone's focused on these moments. It's obviously the May try, the Dylan Edwards kick return. Look, these things can happen. Like, if we're going to sit here and pretend we haven't even seen some of the better sides get meters put on them in this situation where someone comes out and, you know, runs the ball back quickly. So these things happen. My biggest concern in the situation was, though, was, look, even if that did happen, but the boys were chasing, I would just be like, look, that happens. The boys were chasing, like, this is rugby league. You've got to understand, like, Dylan Edwards has all the momentum. You can't expect these big forwards that have been, you know, back and forth for 10 minutes or whatever, just to start sprinting as well. The biggest concern about the play was, is players literally watched him go past them and didn't change pace at all. Like, there were multiple players that watched Edwards go past and their speed didn't increase. And that's the biggest concern for me. So they've literally said in their head, not my problem. Like, in their head, they've gone, oh, it's not my problem. It's the outside backs, or it's the guys that didn't chase as hard as I did. And so if that play happens exactly the same, but let's say there's three or four blokes that see Edwards, they start running and they get their hands on the back of Edwards, or they just touch May, but May seems to get away, I would be like, that happens in rugby league. It's a better play by Edwards and May rather than a terrible play by the defence. But it's the fact that players were just watching him run past him. And then the second, we'll stick on that play. We'll stick on that play for now, and then obviously we'll move to the other play. What do you think, Root?
Yeah, it was a tough watch, that one. I mean, didn't shock me at all who was the only guy that fucking chased. Jairo.
And in both plays that we're going to talk about here, Jairo is the only one that chased.
Yeah, he's the key guy. And yeah, just disappointing. And you're right, mate, it does happen, but didn't it just show the difference in intensities from both sides, though? Yeah. Like, even the way that, you know, I think the there was a still that I took from when Dylan Edwards had tapped it. He was already on the 25-metre line, and still there was only four players that were beyond the 20-metre line for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Like, just carnage. Very tough to watch.
Yeah, and so, like, I understand if you're a South fan, you're sitting there going, hey, we've had all of these injuries. The boys are, you know, putting in different positions. I get that, for sure. And that's why I'm saying, even if the try was, it's not actually the try being scored, it's the body language of when that play happened, when everyone's just head down, not my problem. Very focused, very inward. Timmy, what do you think of the situation.
Yeah, similar enough thoughts there, boys, in that you can make excuses for the Bunnies in that it was, you know, three quarters of the way into the game. We know what Penrith do. They grind. Add in the fact that they'd lost their fullback, they'd lost their halfback. Forwards were playing bigger minutes. They were gassed. But it was just so easy. Like, it wasn't, as you said, Kempy, if there were blokes half a metre away or sort of trying to get back there and they scored, you go, all right, a relentless Penrith team, a quick kick return, tap return, you can live with it. But there was no one even close to it.
Yeah.
Like, Edwards could have kept going. He finds Taylan May, no one near him. The effort areas were so poor, and it just ties into, and again, the boys were gassed, but they just haven't looked that fit on field all year, the Bunnies. They just look underdone, not up for the fight. Physically, they haven't looked in it late in games, and that was a prime example of it. So it was really disappointing.
Well, you look at round one, they come out after halftime, blow Manly off the park, and then Manly just goes, last 20 minutes, they kill it. You look at the Storm game, they get pretty much dominated first half. They come out in the second half. No, there was a period there where Rabbitohs were in it. They come out in the second half and they look like they're back in the fight, and then the last 20 minutes, blown off the park. Bulldogs, the last 20 minutes, if I recall correctly, were coming and coming. You know, if the game was 10 minutes longer, it looks like they're going to win that game. I'm trying to think of other games. Warriors, I think they just got dominated. They just got hammered.
Yep.
So, when I first heard the argument of, are they underdone? I was like, come on. That's impossible in today's game. Like, surely not. They got heart monitored. They got so much science behind pre-seasons. How does that happen? But at the same time, because the head trainer can only do what the head coach allows him to do. And I know their head trainer, and their head trainer's been part of squads that are like some of the best in the business. And so you have to wonder, you know, was JD not hard enough in the preseason on the boys when it came to really getting them rock hard fit? I initially thought it was an outrageous question to ask in an NRL environment, but the more that I look at it, I look at the results, I hear people talking, and I sit back and think, I go, you know what? It might genuinely be a good question to ask. Was JD hard enough in the preseason?
And obviously completely speculative on this, Kenny,
very speculative.
But you said that the head trainer can only do as much as allowed, but same for the head coach and the entire staff. They can only do what they can only enforce while they're at training in limited hours per week. But as a professional athlete, as you know better than anyone, there's standards to uphold when you're at home in the off season. You know, there's that 8-9 week off season period where the majority of players, it should be all of them, are still doing their own work when they're away from the training field and maintaining fitness while they're having a bit of a piss up and having their off-season fun and their letdown. Dietary comes into it. What are they eating for a weekend? What are they eating during the night? And again, I don't know if the Rabbitohs did their work in the off-season or what they're eating at home. I wouldn't have a bloody clue. But you can only do so much on a training paddock for X amount of hours during the week. What are they doing outside of the training environment? Because maybe that's where the standards haven't been upheld, because they just don't look like a rock-hard fit NRL team.
You know what? It could also genuinely be like, they hit all their targets, they're just as fit as last year, but they're not as mentally fit as they should be. So when that hard point of the game comes, they just go, not going to make that.
Well, they're the moments, like with that, the tap return of Dylan Edwards. That's where you buy in and you're playing for each other and you're playing for your coach, and you find that extra 1% when your body's got nothing left to give, and you find that chase in you, or that extra effort areas. But as we've seen with the Bunnies this year, I don't think it's unfair to say that they don't look like they've bought into to Demetrio or the club or everything that's going on. Perhaps that's it.
Root, what?
Yeah, I don't know. As you said, all speculation based on that preseason, but man, it's hard to push back on, isn't it? Based on what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's, look, it definitely is all speculation. But I think the question is becoming a reasonable question. If you had asked that question 2 weeks ago, I think it's unreasonable. Like, you're just throwing shit at a wall. It's like, I think it's a reasonable question to say, are these boys either mentally as fit as they need to be or physically as fit as they need
to be? But the other thing is, Kemby, like, we asked, I think we all had them top four, if not even top two, and premiership contenders in the preseason. They're now sitting stone motherless on the bottom of the competition with one win to their name.
Stone motherless?
Stone motherless. What's last. That?
Oh, that's fucking outstanding stuff.
Have you boys heard that?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Only from him, but yeah.
Stone motherless.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
I don't know. Nice to me. I don't know where it comes from or anything like that, but it's it works.
It's usually a racing term, isn't it?
Marvelous last.
Yeah.
Mustn't have reached out the country where I grew up.
Anyway. Anyway, Bunnies are stone marvelous, and we had them as premiership contenders at the start of the season. You look at them now, granted injuries have not helped. Murray gone long term, Jai Gray gone long term, Dean Hawkins gone off an extended period. They could be wooden spooners. Like, yes, they've had a tough draw to start the season, but all of a sudden you're going, where do they find wins from with all these key players going down injured?
It's really gone from bad to worse. And look, I do want to acknowledge they have been smashed with injury this year. But like, if you're in an NRL squad, you know, I say this all the time. Let's say, you know, you lose a key half. He's not, most halves aren't necessarily like such better defenders. Like, he's just such a good defender, he stops an extra 20 points. And so even if you're in that NRL squad, you may not be as good a defender or attacker as the guy that's usually in that first grade squad, but you should be at the very least as fit. Like, you should be, that, I mean, if anything, if you're a fringy, those plays are what get you the jersey. If Jai Arrow, the Origin guy, he's played for Australia, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Origin player, if he's doing it, and that's why I want to talk about the other play. And this one's even more. This one's actually, for me, actually worse than the other one. So when the Tarua flicks the ball back in, so Jai Arrow starts, so he's in the front row, so he starts underneath the post. So he's a defender underneath the post. He manages to get all the way across to put that hit on Tarua to take him out. There were multiple players around him that as soon as the ball went past him, they just stopped. They just started jogging. It's like, you're on your try line here. Like, this isn't, you're not in the middle of the field where you've got to conserve energy here. You're on your try line here. And granted, I'm sure I made that error as well, where I was lazy. So I'm not sitting here pretending like I wasn't guilty of it too. But I would also be in the wrong then. Like, I would also expect my coaching video session to go, what are you stopping here for? So you've got a guy that really shouldn't be playing. Like, Jai Arrow should not be playing. His shoulder is fucked. Like, he makes that tackle on Tarua. He was on the ground for 2 or 3 minutes, writhing in pain. Mm. So he's willing to do that when the season's basically over, but they've got other guys around him, less capped, you know, even arguably fringe first graders, that are just stopping. And that says to me that standards at the moment are just not being set.
Have we got an injury report on Jai Arrow? Does anything come from that? Or?
He said he's sweet. Look, obviously, take the medical, he would be. Maybe he's been told from the medical staff, or most likely, that you cannot do more damage. So that's why he's continuing to play. But if there is even 1% or 2% that he could do more damage to that shoulder, mate, get him out of there. Like, get him out of there, get the shoulder surgery, and rebuild for next year.
I think they're getting to a point where it's hard for them to find 17 blokes in Maroubra to play for them.
But is it worth?
No, I'm not arguing. They're in such a bad spot at the moment.
Did anyone else not have Damien Cook playing fullback in his 200th on their 2024 bingo card?
He actually played fullback. So he started in...
Freddie called bingo.
He actually, at the Cutters, was a winger and a fullback when he first came in.
Ah.
Yeah. But obviously hasn't played there in like 10 years.
Incredible story, Cookie. Where he's
crazy story. Yeah. Crazy story. Yeah.
So the second most points conceded this season is the Titans per game, 28 points. Cowboys in third on 27. Eels in fourth at 26. The Rabbitohs are conceding 36.5 points per game.
It's in like the top 5 or 6 worst ever for the first 10 rounds.
Well, it's the worst ever for the Rabbitohs, isn't it? At this eight rounds.
When you consider what they went through in the early 2000s, that's insanity.
Yeah.
Like, actually insane. So, look, just disaster all around. Murray's out now too. So, mate, with the injuries they've got, they should be fighting to not get the spoon at the moment. That sounds disrespectful, but I'm just taking in consideration, they are so decimated with injury that their main goal should just be getting wins anyway, anyhow, to get off the bottom of the table. Because at the moment, I just think top eight is like, it's not a reasonable consideration, in my opinion.
They're 81 bucks at the start of the year to get the spoon. They're 360 now. Spoon from all angles.
Holy. What do you reckon, boys? What's the focus for Rabbitohs heading forward?
Mate, that's the other thing too. Like, I know Cam Murray's out now, but Origin's going to roll around and they'll lose Jai Arrow there. Like, what?
Maybe Keon if he makes an extended squad or something.
Yeah, but just losing Jair on their own, they're already completely shot through the middle.
Yeah.
Losing him, like, as you said, mate, like the couple of highlights you could find from that game was all built around Jairo, who's who's busted to pieces at the moment. Yeah, it's shit to watch. I hate it.
Mate, I hate it. I love the Rabbitohs side. They're one of the most exciting footy teams to watch. They're a great bunch of blokes. Really enjoyable style of footy as well. It's just, I would love to, like, what has gone so wrong? Yeah. It's got to be more than just, like, it's got to be more than the players just having a bad year. Like, there has to be something higher up where there's just so much shit behind the scenes we don't know about, because it doesn't go this wrong.
And that's where, as you said, mate, they are decimated by injuries. I don't want to take anything away from that, but like they ran out on the weekend with Cody Walker, Jack White, and Cam Murray. Like
Damien Cook.
Like, sorry, if you put those four guys into the Dolphins team on the weekend, are they not four best players on paper?
And their two tries they scored were with Isaac Tungo and the Simbin. Yep. It's like they couldn't score against the 13-man Panthers. Not many can, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been so negative. I actually did think they showed moments, though, of like fighting.
It was so unfair that this week where like they lose the coach, more injuries pile on, they're decimated, that it's against Penrith, like anyone else.
You get that performance against a bottom eight side, and I think that it's quite competitive all the way to the end there. Yep. And we're all sitting here going, you know what? Pretty good performance there by the boys.
Wasn't that stat about Ben Hornby unbelievable? Oh, did you see that one?
Yeah.
Random stats. What on earth are the chances of that?
So he debuted for the Dragons.
2000.
Against the Panthers.
Yep.
And he was beaten by the exact same amount of tries, points, everything that he was in his first. Well, I don't even think it was his first head coach role. Because I think a few years ago something happened. He was a head coach one, but essentially first head coach role against the Panthers.
Yeah, insane.
Craziness.
Did he take over a few years ago, Matty, or was that Johnny Morris?
It was in 2022. He was, yeah, he took over one game. Can't remember why, though.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, with all those negatives being said, I do think there are things to look at. Like, put it this way. If I was a head coach right now, I'm not talking about the negatives at video session. It's like the negatives have been talked about friggin' like for 20 games now. I'm just finding the moments. I'm finding Cody Walker's early ball playing. You know, some who's kicking. I'm finding Jai Arrow's efforts. Like, I'm finding that stuff and just going, boys, there's 60 minutes of pretty solid footy here. Let's go to 70 next week. And then 80. Let's rebuild here from this. I wouldn't be going in negative if I was the coach, because I do think there were moments where you go, you know what? They actually are ripping in here.
Wasn't it so fucked too, just to rub salt in the wounds? Like, they went through a tough few weeks with guys like Hawkins, Jai Gray, sort of get them used to first grade. Then as soon as you think, okay, maybe they've sort of found their feet, both go down.
Well, as soon as you sit there and go, okay, Gray, we're going to be able to get some NRL footy into this bloke. So next year he's going to be unbelievable. It goes boom, gone. All right, now into the Panthers. As I said, like, look, to the Panthers standard, guys, we're talking about the Panthers standard, not to every other team's standard. Panthers for me have looked really flat for at least 4 weeks. Well, I don't say at least. Around about 4 weeks at the moment. Their forward pack, in my opinion, hasn't been as dominant. Yeah, for a few weeks now. They've still been good. They've still been solid. But I think as a team, they've looked a bit flat. Now, granted, they're missing Nathan Cleary. So it's like, we have such high standards. But any other team would be like, yeah, they're getting wins without Nathan Cleary. Like, what are you talking about? That's a massive, massive W for any side. But as I said, we're talking about the Panthers and their standard footy that they set. But Isaiah Yeo and Edwards, like, they have just led from the front. Like, when they've needed a leader to go, okay, boys, are we playing our best footy? No, we're not. But let's just get around us. We'll take his forward. And whilst Cleary's not in this side or he's a bit rusty or whatever, we'll get the job done. And I think that's the biggest takeaway over the last month of footy for Panthers. Because we've already known the last few years, they can win footy games without Panthers. We've already known that. What I think has become extremely clear is how crucial and vital Edwards and Yeo are to this side.
Without a doubt, Edwards, he's playing some good footy at the moment.
Unbelievable.
We obviously talk from like a super coach point of view. It sometimes can be, but just whenever you see Nathan Cleary go down, Dylan Edwards is just a go.
Mm.
He just steps up.
His average essentially just doubles every time Cleary's out. Just kills us.
He was ball playing one off the ruck in the first set for the Panthers.
Yep.
And like, yeah, is it Joey John's ball playing? No, but I tell you what, a few years ago, I don't think I would have seen Dylan Edwards ball playing one off the ruck.
No way. No.
Just, he's just taking a whole nother step in his performances.
Isaiah Yeo, just like a bad game for him, is an 8 out of 10 at the moment. His last few years, like it has to be some of the most consistent footy played by anyone over an extended period.
It is just, like, and also it's consistent in the tough areas.
Yep.
you know, you could talk about consistent in the fun stuff, the tries or the meters made or the ball running. He consistently maybe misses one tackle a game. Put it this way, when I look at a team sheet after a game, stats, and if I see a two beside missed tackles on Isaiah Yeo, I'm like, that's shocking to me. Usually it's zero or one in his defensive record at 13.
He just doesn't miss.
So good. So good. What do you think of the Panthers, Timmy?
Yeah, I mean, rinse and repeat on Dylan Edwards. Since Cleary's been out, obviously played last week, but just stood up incredibly. I think the big take for me in this last 4 or 5 weeks where Cleary has missed a chunk of games is that just another win to their system and their depth. Like, yeah. We know in recent years players have come through and they've done a job and we talk about their systems and how from top to bottom they're all running the same lines. They're all running the same shape. So it's like they step in so easily. But I think this year more than ever we had more question marks around the depth because with more success they lose more key players. Mm. There has to be a point where you stop developing these players. Brad Schneider and Paul Alamotti, who didn't play on the weekend, two blokes who were basically discarded by the last clubs and couldn't get another contract, Penrith bring them in, and they're well beaters. Like Brad Schneider was fantastic on the weekend, and a Penrith side that so really been right edge dominant this year and in recent years with Nathan Cleary there. Schneider comes in, they're still right edge dominant in the way they play their footy, and you sort of think, all right, what could derail the Panthers' season? And it's like, all right, well, if Nathan Cleary has a season-ending injury. But if that happened and Brad Schneider stepped in now, you're still sitting there going, well, they're still the premiership favourites. Yeah.
Well, they're the only team that you would say that.
Yeah.
Like, for example, with Broncos without Reynolds, like, they're not a premiership threat without Reynolds.
Major concern.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, Schneider's come in and done a terrific job, played a similar enough role. So that, the month of Cleary being out, it'll feel that, not that they needed it, but that squad will be so much confident that we lose one, another one comes up.
Yeah.
Each and every year, it's the same story.
Yeah, and I think the biggest test this year as well is, as I said, I really do feel like they haven't been playing that great of footy the last month. So not only have they not had Cleary in the side, even when he did come back in the side, they weren't playing that well, but they're still winning games relatively convincingly. Like it is, I think we've become so desensitized to these Panthers that we just expect it. Like if they went in a run and like, let's say in the last month of footy, they went 2 from 4 without Cleary, we'd be going, that's bad. Like, that's not good. Whereas any other team, we'd be going, oh, well, they're missing their key player. Like, of course it's going to be 2 from 4. That's how good they've been.
Well, mate, like, they just won that game. What was it, 42-10 or something? They were down 10-0.
42-12, and I'm saying they look flat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was 40-0 in the last 60 minutes.
It's actually crazy. Absolutely.
You have a look in their New South Wales Cup on the weekend, mate. I've been talking about these McLean brothers for quite some time. They played centre and wing on the same side. They combined for 350 run meters, 130 post contact, 3 line breaks, 1 line break assist, 1 try assist, 7 tackle breaks between the two of them. And Casey, who's the younger one, was playing centre. Jesse was on the wing. 2 tries in there. Yeah, they are. Paul Alamotti played centre on the weekend in reserve grade, ran for 160 meters, kicked 5 goals. I didn't even know he's a fucking goal kicker.
Alamotti?
Yep.
What?
They just keep on keeping on. I'll tell you, mate, you mentioned there like a few guys that are out and how it impacts them and whatnot. I reckon they're missing Scotty Sorensen massively.
Yeah, that quick, you know, play the ball through the middle there. I will say Garner was pretty good on the weekend. Not pretty good, he was bloody good on the weekend. Just a few, well, not bloody good. Just like made effort in areas that put him in a good position. You know, like it was all effort. Put it this way, his game and the, you know, the stats that he ended up with was just all effort plays. And I think that he's a guy, I'm not sure, I don't think he's signed for next year. But, you know, he's a guy that was at the Tigers, probably took a massive pay cut to go to Panthers. Initially, took him probably a little bit to get into that side and get into the groove. But he's a premiership winner and he's, you know, winning footy matches now.
Yeah.
He might be trying to hold out Dave Fifita next year.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that bizarre that got out to the media when Penrith have been so tight about everything?
Mm.
Can you imagine Dave Fifita running off Nathan Cleary.
Mate.
Might have been the Titans purposely getting it out there.
I think so.
Why would I back it?
Yeah, like why the Titans are going, we need to sabotage this ASAP. Because like why would the Panthers let this get out?
Yeah.
It doesn't help them. You know, if you're a wide back grower or even a young forward coming through, you're going, hang on a sec here, what's going on?
I was talking to a mate last night and he said, mate, if Fifita ends up at the Panthers, I might just check in on the NRL in 5 or 6 years. just not fair.
Not fair. Really quiet game from Toll.
It's
really disappointing. It's 142 metres.
That is remarkably low for him.
Like, literally remarkably
it's
low.
My, I've mentioned it a few weeks back, Kempy, but my one knock on Penrith at the moment is the inability of Luai to use his left edge. And it's, we mentioned Guru and I, like, the stuff you see as Supercoach diehards, you watch players that you own so closely and whatnot, and like Taylor May's one of them. Leading into the weekend, Taylor May at left centre didn't have a try assist, hardly had like a line break, had nothing. Saw Brian Toto, who shifted earlier on in the season from the right wing to the left wing, just hardly kept getting no quality early ball on the left edge.
Luai always steps back.
Steps back in like every time, and you just go, they need to open up. It's all right at this time of the season, whatever. Penrith will still win games, but you need to give these strike weapons out the back more quality ball. He threw one ripper of a pass for Toto last week for a try, but it's just the same thing every time. Shape out, step back in, like not using it well.
Yeah, I wonder if the game plan, you know, we know their game plan is to turn that middle into a washing machine. Mm. And, you know, when Cleary's playing, he's always dropping under, always dropping under. I wonder if he's directed to do that, maybe.
I don't know.
To tire out the forwards.
It's weird.
But he does it so much.
I know. Oh, mate, I'm just trying to look for reasons why. Because you got a Taylor and May, like a specimen out there. Brian Toa, one of the greatest wingers of all time. You'd be thinking getting the ball.
Mate, I would love for like a random stats guy or someone, don't want to put more work on his shoulders, but I would love for someone to go through Brian Toa's last 4 years and get like his 27 quietest games in the last 4 years and put those stats together and see how it stacks up. Because I still think it would be incredible.
I think the lowest I've ever seen him was like 90 metres or something like that, like one time. I think he got injured probably in that game too. So look, Penny Panthers, that sounded all, you know, quite negative, but it's actually not. Like, we are basically, you know, we could get up here and just go, Panthers are incredible, amazing, amazing, amazing. Or we could go, the standard that's been set by the Penny Panthers, let's compare them to that, because that's a compliment.
We've been told to try and nitpick and find things at the Panthers, so we're trying.
We're trying as hard as we can. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to do.
You know, in all that, Brian Toto still topped the game for outside backs for post-contact metres.
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. So, like, the Penny Panthers, there's an argument to be made they're in the strongest position of the start of the year since they first won their first grand final. I know when they lost the year, they lost the grand final, I think they started years strong, at least at the very least. What the fuck just happened? At the very least. I feel like I had a hair in my mouth or something. At the very least, their mantra or whatever was to win the first 20 minutes of a game. Whereas, like, you have to remember last year, I think they started the year 4-4. Like, they started the year slow when we were all sitting there going, oh no, Appy Coruscant leaving. That's, you know, that's the knife in the back that's going to end it all. And then obviously what happened. Whereas this year, I look at them, I go, they're not playing anywhere near as we know as good as they can. They're still absolutely fucking talent teams up. They don't even have Nathan Cleary back. Imagine when they get Cleary back and they start playing good footy. It is just game over.
I mentioned it a few weeks ago on the show that you had Taylor May who was putting out like vlogs or something, and he was talking about how when he does training with Isaac Tonga and he's on the bars and whatnot. Did you see that video that Isaac Tonga put out the other day? My God.
What was he doing?
Just doing bar work, but just muscles on muscles on.
That was hot stuff.
Hot stuff. I'm surprised you haven't seen it yet. It was fucking unbelievable. Like, you look at that and you go, okay, get why no one can tackle this guy.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. What do you got there, Matty?
In the last four seasons, Toto's averaged 213 metres a game.
And it's more in rep football. And I guarantee you it's more in finals too.
4 years.
Yeah, he'd be averaged. Over that. He'd be over that in rep and
100%
finals.
He would be. Yeah.
He's definitely over 200 in rep.
That's 70 games, by the way.
Fuck. That's like, it's his first 70 games.
Do you reckon he's getting dropped this week then? Because that means he's had a below average game.
Just a bit of a wake up.
They got good depth there, so, you know, good Jensen, contest for spots.
Who's the young kids? Jensen?
McLean's.
McLean's. They coming in, you reckon?
Throw a dart and hit a McLean to bring in.
Brian Tyler just faced the music this week, mate. Drop down. Bit of a wake up call.
Could you imagine?
Don't let standards drop.
Ivan Cleary, just to troll the NRL, was like, nah, I'm dropping him. They come out and they fucking kill the next team. Anyway, Panthers, absolutely incredible. We're watching the greatest team of all time, in my opinion. Like, it's very, like, I get it. Rugby league before the last, you know, 20, 30 years, I understand all that. But I tell you what, What else do these guys need to do?
I think as well, the other thing in that conversation, and I had this conversation with a mate yesterday, and he was sort of like, oh, you know, like, I don't know, your 90s Broncos, your 90s Raiders. And I'm like, yeah, but the big difference is when you look at the 90s Broncos, the 90s Raiders, and who those players are, you've seen what they accomplished across their entire career. Most of these guys are 24.
Yeah, I know. It's
like
mental.
In 10 years' time, think about what they're going to achieve and how you're going to look back on what they've already done.
But the thing is this. It's like, I get it. Like, we look back on the Broncos, and I have a tendency to go, oh, that Broncos team in a one-off game, they might be able to pip them. We look back at the Storm. None of these teams got close to this dominance over this short period of time.
No.
Three premierships in a row, and never looked like really losing outside of, like, you know, they play the Eels, dominated them. Rabbitohs put up a good fight, but most people are like, you know, I think Penrith are going to win this one. Only team that got close where you start to go, oh shit, is this actually going to happen, is the Broncos. And have a look at the Broncos side. Like, it's just, and they didn't. They didn't get, you know, they didn't win the game. They lost just as much as the Eels lost. They both lost the print. So, mate, it's just amazing what they're seeing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.